Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
My name is Halle, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
Well, hello there, everyone. We're doing a special live episode this week for Fun Drive. For those of you who don't know, Fun Drive is CITR's main fundraising event. So if you enjoy listening to Therapy Hour and want to support local community radio, consider donating this year.
Yeah. We're a little nervous because this is our first ever live in studio episode, so please be a little forgiving to us as we fumble our way through it. But you can learn more about Fun Drive by visiting citr.ca/donate. And if you're donating specifically because you enjoy listening to Therapy Hour, then please, please, please consider donating in the name of our show. It would really mean a lot to us.
Fun Drive's theme this year is plenty of fish. So this week, we are talking about online dating.
We sure are.
So, Violet, do you use any dating apps?
Yes and no, I think is the only accurate way to answer that question. I have a Tinder account, and I have downloaded Bumble Friends to get into a party once.
Yes.
That was hosted by Bumble, and we didn't even end up, we were going to go to that party together, but we didn't even end up going.
Yeah.
But I don't really use them though, but I have an account. I have a Tinder account, and yep. I am like one of those people who downloads it, deletes it back and forth forever.
Do you delete it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually just re-downloaded it in preparation for our dating app episode that we're doing this week, and I am planning on deleting it once we finish. I swear.
This is the last time, I swear.
Yeah. Do you have any dating apps?
I do. I also have a Tinder. I also had a Bumble. I feel very indifferent towards dating apps. I think that I originally downloaded it because I wanted to have, I originally downloaded it because I did want to actually date.
Yeah.
And so I used it and I had ended up dating someone for 2 months or something off of it. And then, after a little while, I have it on my phone. I don't think I've ever deleted it, but it's still on there. And it's a fun little game to me.
It's a fun game to you, really?
Yes.
So would that be what you use it for? For just, entertainment, then?
Yeah, if you could even call it that. I feel like, for me, it's one of those things that's just on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I forget about it. And then I think the other week when we had first started talking about online dating again, I opened it back up, checked in and saw my old matches, started swiping. It was incredibly boring, I must say.
Boring?
Yeah, it just
Why?
Wasn't, I don't know, it just didn't feel, I'm not excited by it. And I remember a time where Tinder and that type of dating used to excite me a lot, but I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like I'm much more of a person that dates the people that are around and not really just through an app, which I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it either way. I just don't like it myself.
Yeah, I resonate with some of that. I have never used Tinder as a serious way of dating before. Again, totally understand when people do, and I think it's fine. I think it makes sense and it's a resource, and sometimes it's hard to meet people. But the only times that I've really used Tinder is after a breakup, and I'm I need to know that people still find me attractive. And I just need to remember that there are other people out there. And then it gets weird for me because other people are using it more seriously and people message me, and then I feel bad, so I message back. But then I get freaked out, and then I'm oh god, and I just delete the app.
You do take Tinder weirdly seriously. I remember the first time, this is just a funny little story, but the first time that I remember you downloading it, I came into your room and you were swiping, but so slowly. And I was like, you need to go fast. And you were like, but what if I don't know yet if
I'm yeah. Oh, it was crazy to me watching people, because I resisted like downloading a dating app for a very long time. Because it just made me nervous. And then when I finally gave in and did download Tinder, like, I couldn't understand how people were swiping so fast. Like, how do you decide? You haven't read the bio yet. You don't know their interest. You're swiping on the first picture. What if they're beautiful on the second picture? Like, what are you going to do?
Because the thing to me is that I think I've given up this idea that I'm going to meet my match on Tinder, or like, I don't know, even date someone from Tinder.
Yeah.
But I feel like, so I just feel like if I made a mistake, then I mean, it's like the only time I get upset is if I accidentally swipe left on like someone I know. And then I was like taking like so many screenshots and being like, I have all this. I know what you're trying to portray to the world now.
Yeah. So have you ever met up with anyone from a dating app before?
Yes, a couple of times.
Okay.
The first time I'd ever done it, it ended up being like a semi-relationship, which was interesting, especially nearing the end of that relationship and just realizing we had absolutely nothing in common and we were kind of just dating for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the whole reason why I don't like using dating apps anymore is that I had been talking to this guy for a while right when I think I got the app, and then we talked back and forth and then we stopped and then we talked again. And I was lonely and I was like, oh, I'm going to just shoot my shot, like do what I can. So I think I might have asked him out, and then we ended up going to grab coffee at 5 p.m., which was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this crazy thing because we talked for months. I enjoyed his personality, like, via text.
Yeah.
I thought he was very attractive. But the minute he walked through the door, like, we didn't even speak yet.
Mm.
And I was like, we are not going to get along.
Oh, no.
Because I think that I'm a very strong believer in energy and, like, I don't know, vibes is the best way I can say it.
Right.
Because, like, you meet someone, I feel like I've met people that are just friends or even people that I'm romantically interested in, that, like, you meet them and instantly, like, you connect.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even really have to say anything. You're just, like, in that person's presence. And when this man showed up, I was like, this is going to be terrible. And we did end up spending like 2.5 hours together.
Oh, God.
And it was just a waste of time. And then we both blocked each other
afterwards. No. Well, that's the biggest thing that freaks me out if I were to actually meet up with someone off of a dating app, is I think that you can learn certain things from a person's dating profile. And we'll go in actually on this show and talk about our dating profiles and what we're kind of trying to portray there. And I think that that can be accurate to some extent, but there's so much more that goes into attraction. And, like, when I think about the people that I've actually dated, like, I literally might have swiped left on some of them.
Absolutely.
And then when I think of people, like, in my real life who, like, are, like, very good looking, but, like, I would literally never want to date them in a million years. Like, if I didn't know them, I'd probably swipe right. But then I meet them in person and, like, it's not something that I actually want. And, like, that aspect of it just freaks me out. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, the minute he, like, walks in, you're like, this is not what I want. I don't like how you carry yourself. Like, it's just not what I expected. And if you're talking to someone online for a long time, I think you do start to build up this, like, persona in your head of, like, who you think they are, how you think they conduct themselves.
Well, I think that online dating has also just become this very odd thing that people just do it a lot, and so when they're doing it a lot, they just go on a lot of bad dates. Like, I one of my best friends from high school, before she met her boyfriend, she was going out on like 2 or 3 dates a week, and she would call me and be like, oh, this one was bad and this one's bad, this one's kind of good, whatever. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I very rarely even like having first dates in general, but I really value the appraisal of people around me for the people that I end up dating. And not to say that I'm just going out and dating all my friends or dating all my friends' friends, but having a bit of background on the person that you're going to end up in a relationship with. Yes, they could still be bad people. Yes, the relationship may not work out, but at least, like, when you have a mutual friend, you have a general idea of, you like this person and I like this person, so we may get along because we both like this mutual person. Yeah.
Which is, I think, my favorite, like, way conceptually that I would like to use a dating app is, like, both, like, matching with someone who I kind of know or is, like, in the periphery of my life or something, who I've, like, thought was kind of cute. And then now us matching on Tinder is, like, a good opportunity to be, like, hey, like, I think you're cute. You think I'm cute. Like, ooh, are we going to do something about this? Or, like, I've had people come to me and be, like, hey, like, you're in this person's pictures. Like, do you know them? Can you tell me something about them? Like, I think that that is really great. It's like, oh, a little nudge of, like, okay, now, like, make a move.
Right.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to say?
Yeah. Do you think that people on dating apps are more so looking for relationships, or does it live up to kind of this stereotype of dating apps of, like, this is just a casual hookup situation?
I think that obviously it depends, and obviously different apps, I guess, have now, like, lent themselves to different things that people want. And we've been talking about how people will sometimes say in their bios what they're looking for. I personally was very shocked to know that people were going on Tinder to actually find people to date. I was under the impression that everyone there was trying to have a casual relationship. But it makes a lot of sense that people are maybe trying to, like, formulate some form of relationship on those apps. I don't know. I think that it depends on the type of person. I know some people that used dating apps solely to hook up with other people. I also know people who that's their primary way of dating. So I think it's just dependent on the person. It's dependent on the area you're in, because I find that it's not as common in my friendships and, like, my friendship groups. But, like, my friends in the States, like, that's all they use.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that certain apps have gotten certain reputations for, like, I think Tinder is thought of as, like, the hookup app. And Hinge, I think Hinge's slogan is something like the app that's designed to be deleted, because, like, oh, you're going to get into a monogamous relationship and, like, not need this app anymore. So that's kind of funny. But I'm sure that there are people who want different things within, like, the same app. And I see people sometimes disclosing what they actually want, whether that's something casual or something more serious. And I think that that's honestly, on an app, like, a really great thing to be disclosing up front. If you are, like, genuinely trying to be meeting up with people. Obviously, you don't have to.
No.
But I think it's honestly nice when people do that.
At least you know where they're coming from. I feel like if I, or the times that I have been using dating apps and I see that, like, this is what someone's looking for, that doesn't align with what I want. Okay, great. Like, we can just move on. Like, it doesn't really have to be a, it's not like you, some people may not know what they want, so maybe that's just why they're not putting it there. But it kind of makes sense because, again, you are going into this not really knowing this person, so it's great to have a little bit of an upfront of, like, this is what I'm looking for from this app. And I think, obviously, like, our view of this is interesting because we are both younger people, but I know you have some opinions of, like, how dating apps can be utilized by the older generation.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I think that dating apps get a reputation for, I mean, obviously they're relatively new, although I think dating websites have been around for a little bit longer. FunDrive's theme, Plenty of Fish, I think is one of the more retro ones out there. But I think that in modern day, for people middle-aged and above who maybe just have always been single or got out of a relationship later in life or a divorce, something along those lines, like, I think that's a great resource for them because generally people our age are more likely to be single, more likely to also be looking for a relationship. I think also in general as young people, there are easier ways to meet other people. And when you get a little bit older or maybe after a divorce, like, you can't just assume that everyone around you is single and looking to mingle. So being on an app is great. I literally helped my grandfather make his Tinder profile.
That's so cute.
And, like, message this lady. Nothing came of it, but I think they did go on a date. But
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was That's really sweet. Cute bonding moment.
I was going to say, one of my mom's friends uses dating apps quite often, or dating websites. I'm not sure. But it's proven to be super successful for her. She got a divorce very, like, late in her marriage, and she really wanted to find someone, and she dated, like, pretty consistently through those apps, and now has been, like, dating the same person, I think, for, like, 6 months or something like that. Mm. And it made so much sense. It's like, she works every day. She's been working at the same place, like, every single day for the past 20 years of her life. Mm-hmm. She hasn't really been introduced to anyone new.
Right.
She was literally married for, like, I don't know how long she was married for, but enough that her kids were old enough to be going to university. So she hasn't had time to, like, even develop those skills or develop those social circles because, you know, once you get older, your social circles are going to get smaller. Mm-hmm. Your opportunities for going out are going to get less frequent. So it makes sense that you would just go and scour through the already single people, be like, hello, I'm here, please date me.
And again, like, no shade to anyone our age using them more seriously, but, like, it just makes so much sense for, like, older people. But before we get too carried away with this little intro to this week's episode, we want to do a little song segment. This week, we're going to be listening to Still Believe in Love by Jaxxel, which is a song that Halle introduced me to, and I absolutely fell in love with it, if you might want to say that. I realized that so many of my songs I listen to are heartbreak songs, and we were looking for a love song, and then I was like, oh, we both love this song, and it has love in the title, and then we listened to it, and, like, listened to the lyrics, and we're like, oh, this is fully a breakup song. But nevertheless, we're going to be playing it. So give that a listen. And while you do, consider donating to CITR this fun drive season. You can donate by visiting citr.ca/donate. And if you enjoy the stuff we put out here at Therapy Hour, please consider giving us a little shout out when you donate.
We love you!
She walked with all my CDs. She was too small to take the big screen, so she took all my DVDs. I swear the woman went crazy, cussing and yelling at me. I tell you, nothing's gonna break me as long as I still believe, that's why you got to know I still believe in love. Yeah, you know I still believe in love. Girl, you know I still believe in love. Yes, I do, just not with you. She called me all kind of names and y'all. She cussed me right where I stood. She said she knows.
Hey there, this is Aaron from the Flower Power Hour. This week is Fund Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. For me, CITR is the place for underground arts in Vancouver. When I came to UBC a few years back, I couldn't have asked to be accepted and welcomed into a community like CITR has done for me. The difference between CITR and other arts organizations is the emphasis on remaining independent and local. If you're an underrepresented voice in Vancouver, you have a home at CITR. If you are in a position to contribute, please visit CITR.ca/donate to donate and help us remain the most reliable station to discover new local music. Thank you.
Hi, it's Nardwar, the human serviette from CITR Radio. Please donate to the Fund Drive and keep on washing your hands in a free world and do. Do, Nate.
And we're back. You're listening to a special Fun Drive episode of Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM.
Yeah. You've reached the research portion of our show. Always so fun. Lots of things to unpack. When I was thinking about what we might be able to research for this show, the biggest thing on my mind was dating apps are obviously an extremely visual medium, and, you know, very visually based. And I think that really lends itself to discrimination, racially or otherwise. Yeah. And so I really wanted you to kind of dive into that a little bit and see how much research is out there. So what were you able to find on that?
Yeah, I found this fantastic research article, and I usually don't cite my articles just because I feel like it would take a lot of time and take a lot away from the podcast. But this article, which I'm going to take a lot from, is called How Sexual Racism and Other Discriminatory Behaviors Are Rationalized in Online Dating Apps. It's by Christopher T. Connor. If you have any time on your hands, I would read this. It is so important. And I think if you're someone who uses dating apps, you should be using this. Pretty much what this guy did was an observational study on gay men on Grindr. So the interesting thing that I found out while reading this was that Grindr used to have something called an ethnicity filter where you could put what your ethnicity was, and then when your profile popped up, some that would be listed. And if you paid for premium features on the app, you can pay to filter people out, but that's including ethnicity. Mm. And there was this interesting culture on Grindr where lots of the people that were on it would type in their preferences and their racial preferences, their body preferences, their...
Like in their bio?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like in a very vulgar and very aggressive way. And obviously it wasn't like anyone was saying, don't come to me if you are cis, white, and able-bodied.
No, of course not. No, and there's a whole like... musical thing about that on RuPaul's Drag Race. This one queen, Kimchi, does a whole song called Femme, Fats, and Asians because she is femme, fat, and Asian as a drag queen. And so that was kind of critiquing that culture on Grindr. So that, I'm a bit familiar with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he did all these interviews with these different participants that were using the app and also using these features, and came to find that a lot of these people were exhibiting what before dating apps would have just been implicit discrimination. Implicit just meaning below the surface. It's not overt. It's not like you were coming out and being like, I don't like Asians and I don't ever want to date a single one. But if your dating history reflects that, then that might be something that you can unpack, maybe recognize. But the implicit action is that you are dating someone, or you're avoiding a certain race, or you're avoiding a certain group. And the issue with these apps, and what Christopher Connor says in this article, is that when we give a platform the opportunity to categorize that and gives you control over taking out certain types of people, it like reinstates in your brain and makes your racist ideals even stronger.
Yeah.
And it was just so striking to like read his way of like describing all of this, because a lot of people in his interviews were excusing this behavior as saying it was just preference, or at least I'm being honest. And the fact of the matter is that most people in the world are racist, and you have to actively work to not be racist.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give someone a platform, or you give someone an active device on a dating app, even if it's online, because they see that it's like, oh, this is an online thing, even though it's going to affect you in your everyday life, it will impact your racism and like just reinforce it further.
Right.
And it was really upsetting.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, it is upsetting, and it is kind of like you don't even want to see those people. Like, you just want to filter them out completely. You don't even want to be given the option of like, oh, I've never really like been with an Asian person before, but like maybe I will see someone and they'll be interesting and like have an interesting profile and like maybe we'll really connect. And like, obviously you can't do those filters in real life.
No.
And that's probably for the best. Like, we should be exposed to different people, and we shouldn't be able to filter them out, even if you don't end up with whatever group. And honestly, like, in a way, it's almost like I don't want someone to be like presented, or like, I don't want like the Asian person on the other side of it to like be interested in this person and then like face discrimination because their partner is like really racist towards them.
Right.
So, but no, I mean, I don't think it justifies having that filter.
Well, I think that the one thing I will say about it is that what this guy seems to be getting at is that taking away that ability to filter people out in and of itself is like a step in the right direction, because we aren't letting people create these pretty much just these racist like entrenched schemas in our brain to be like, I am now like, it's just, it reinforces their racism. And like, it's not to say that this person wouldn't be racist if it did, if they didn't have these filters, but it at least takes away the opportunity for it to go further and also open it up to, you know, maybe further down the line if someone is a bit more conscientious of their belief systems.
Yeah.
And Grindr did take away their ethnicity filter, and this was something that we both talked about. But I wanted to share this information, is that Grindr took away their ethnicity filter in the wake of the George Floyd murder and the BLM protests, even though a bunch of researchers 2 years prior had recommended these apps take away their ethnicity filters, because they'd already done studies about how it was reinforcing racism.
Yeah.
And it felt like a bit of a PR move.
Right.
And then once Grindr did it, a bunch of other apps did it. However, we found out that Hinge still has the ethnicity filter.
Yeah. And we read the other night what that policy was. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Hinge's thing, I won't read it out because it's a bit long, but pretty much what they said in their justification for having the app or having this filter is that they wanted to let marginalized groups of people who, and specifically racialized people, filter their racial preferences to find each other, quote unquote, if they so wish to have like a more traditional relationship with someone that would understand their culture and their traditions.
Right. And when you read that to me the other night, honestly, because I think they gave examples for Black folks and South Asian folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are specific apps that do that for both of those races and like ethnicities. And so part of me was like, oh, I see that. That's valid. Like, I could see why, like, as a racialized person, you would want to be with someone who either understood your culture or like whatever the case may be. Like, I think that in and of itself is very valid. But given it a little bit more thought, I realized, like, is that really Hinge's place to do that? And does it just allow for more harm than good in at the end of the day? Because there are specific apps that actually cater to those markets are like people who are interested in that.
Yeah. And you, and we looked it up. Hinge's creator is a white man.
Yeah.
we can give space and definitely capital to POC app creators to then create an app that will help people of their culture and like foster a relationship, because those are the people that will know best. And like, I, you know, Violet and I both talked last night about how obviously we, not obviously, but we don't, I don't feel these experiences of like, I don't feel like I am discriminated against on my dating apps. Like, I am POC, but I'm incredibly white passing. So I don't want to speak for anyone's experience, especially if like someone does really like that feature on Hinge. And if you do, I would honestly love to hear about it and maybe what your opinions are. But it was kind of our interpretation in reading the research that I think this might have just been a cover up.
Totally. Yeah, I think that like clearly if all of these apps had this feature at one point or another, there was a market for it, whether that market was a bit more wholesome of like what they're projecting it to be or a bit more insidious. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was coming from a more insidious point of view. And I listened to a really interesting podcast for Pod Club quite a few weeks ago from Media Girlfriends, where they covered what this one reporter did, Hadia Rodrigue. And she went on various dating apps, originally just with her own photos, and she realized that she was not getting a lot of matches. She was really dissatisfied with it. And she started to wonder if it was because she was Black. So what she did was, at first she had her white friend dress in her clothes and do similar poses and re-uploaded her profile with the photos of that white woman. Got so many more matches in like the span of like one day. And then she was like, okay, maybe there are too many varying factors. Like, obviously, we have different features, whatever. It's more than just race. So then what she did is she took her photos and that she originally had on the app, and she gave herself blonde hair and just lightened her skin. She didn't even change like the size of her, any of her features.
Oh my God.
And she got the most matches of all. It was so wild. I highly recommend everyone listens to that. It's called Hadia Rodrigue Made Herself White on OkCupid. Super interesting, super upsetting.
Yes.
But I think that people doing things like that is actually really important, because you don't see who is or you don't see who isn't swiping on you, right?
Right.
And you certainly don't get a reason for why they may or may not be doing that.
Exactly.
And so I think it's important to have people getting curious and running experiments like that, because I think it really exposes what's actually going on and the racial profiling that's happening to specific demographics.
And I think that if there's anything to be taken away from this, because this actually really did make me think as well about like my own dating life, and even at a certain point in my life, if I start using dating apps again, I would really encourage folks to challenge how they've been using dating apps, like in the ways in which, specifically towards, like specifically to white people that are listening right now, we always talk about unlearning racism, dismantling like racist structures and like what your role is in that. And I think it's super important to look at how you date and look at how you judge attractiveness and your swiping.
Yeah.
And there is nothing wrong with having preferences whatsoever. I'm not here to tell you that you have to find every single person from every single racial background attractive. But I think it's a really important idea to, like, if you do have certain preferences, challenge why you have those preferences. Look at, like, the media that you consume.
Yeah.
Possibly the more explicit media you consume. And, like, sit yourself down and think about it. Because this is a real issue and it's getting worse with dating apps. Like,
right.
I, reading this really made me think, and I really hope that people that are listening can take away from that.
Yeah. And you mentioned that there was also some interesting research on infidelity in relationships and its connection to dating apps. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I read another study talking about dating on, well, people who were dating what I assumed to be one person. They didn't really say these people were monogamous, but the study time frame and the language that was used, it seemed like they were talking about monogamous committed relationships. And then they shared this very interesting statistic that in their study, well, let's say first, internationally, this study has been done. 15 to 25% of people in monogamous relationships are active on dating apps.
Okay. That's very surprising to hear.
Which is an insane amount of people.
Yeah.
And then in this study that they did, 40% of participants that were in serious relationships said they were active on dating apps.
I'm confused. I'm very confused.
And the main takeaway that I want to like bring from this study is that there was this idea of perceived desirability.
Yeah.
So meaning that you see yourself as desirable. So when someone sees themselves as attractive, they believe that they can be successful on a dating app.
Okay.
And therefore, when they get on a dating app and they encounter people that revalidate their attractiveness and their like potential to be a quote unquote good mate, they become more likely to cheat. So lots of directions. But main thing that everyone should know is that in this study, they saw that people who would get on dating apps for whatever reasons within their relationship, they're in a relationship, they get on a dating app. They have quite a few, but like not too many interactions with people that tell them that they are attractive and that they would make a good partner, that they would really like to see them, whatever, whatever. Even if it's coming off as innocent on the person who's in the relationship, even if they have this idea that, haha, I'm just like on this fun app, like I don't mean to do anything, unconsciously they are learning that they are desirable and they are then more likely to go and like have engage in some form of infidelity. And this is for people that are in relationships, and also has been tested on people who are single and like what would happen to them if they were to get into a relationship.
That seems like a very confusing thing to speculate on, but I imagine from the single person's perspective, it's like, as a single person currently using these apps, they do see that they have this wide range of options available to them. So the idea of fully committing to someone to the extent of deleting these apps does make it feel a little bit more like, oh, I'm sacrificing something.
Well, I think also just to contextualize it, we have not had this much access before to people, to knowing that so many people. So like what you said earlier today, which is you went through a breakup and then you wanted to go on these apps to make sure that people still found you attractive. It's a very normal thing to want to do. But there's this like other end of it now that we have access to this information. And again, in traditional monogamous relationships, when these people supposedly cannot have romantic or sexual relationships outside of their own relationship, there becomes a larger risk that you will go and you will cheat on your partner because you know you can.
Yeah, which is, I think, why for me in a monogamous relationship, there is going to always be this boundary of like, being on a dating app is like not something that we are going to be doing in our relationship. Right. Like personally, that's just how I feel. And I know that other people in different partnerships may feel differently, but that's just where I'm at. And then like hearing this study backs it up.
Right.
You know, or like backs up my fears of why I would not want my monogamous partner to do that.
Yeah. These apps just mediate that desire to do that. And what I will say is just my last little point here is that, one, have a conversation. If you have a partner and maybe you're worried about this stuff, have a conversation with your partner. Talk about what your boundaries are and what you do and don't want to do. And also, I think that this will be an interesting step with knowing how often infidelity happens and how often people want to have relationships outside of their main partnership. And maybe that's a step in a direction of like more acceptance of polyamory, more acceptance of open relationships. Also just dismantling the ideas of like monogamy. I will be the first to say I love the idea of it. I'm not big brained enough just yet in my life to like
for polyamory.
For polyamory or for open relationships. Like I would love to at some point, and I think that that is something that could be interesting. But
I think that what you're saying there like makes a lot of sense, is like how much is this just like people being bad, and how much of it is just like our nature, and right. like maybe it's okay and we're capable of having multiple partners. But obviously I'll be the first to say that you should be talking about that and not just going and doing it.
Yeah, no, don't go and just download a dating yeah. app because you think it's human nature.
Let's talk to our partners and set boundaries. All of that being said, we've got a few ads coming your way. And when we come back, we'll be talking about our green flags and red flags on dating apps. I'm very excited for that segment. And we'll also be talking about our own dating profiles. You won't want to miss it. We'll be back in a few minutes.
What's happening? I'm Owen Wilson, and I'm here to talk to you about a subject that's near and dear to my heart.
The CITR and Discorder Fun Drive. CITR's great. So is Discorder.
I don't know what to expect. I gotta be honest. I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my bearings. There's cartoons, your mom.
Radio's cool.
So do the right thing. Donate now to the...
The CITR and Discorder Fun Drive.
You'd be doing me a solid.
Go to CITR.ca/donate.
Come on. Come on.
Hi, I'm Jason Q. Lawrence from The Medicine Show, broadcasting healing energy with live music and laughter on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Every other Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m., let's get down to some business, some news. We at CITR are having our annual fun drive, and we're hoping that you will support us and make a donation. You can either do it monthly or make a one-time donation. Really, everything and anything helps. You can find all the information at www.citr.ca/donate. There's lots of details about CITR and also a lot of great swag that we're giving away. I'm super grateful to be part of the CITR team, and you are part of it too. The listener is essential and the fuel to keep this going. Thank you for listening to CITR, and thank you so much for your support. Help to keep the alternative airways alive.
Salutations. See you next time from The Medicine Show on CITR 101.9 FM.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour's special live episode for Fun Drive on CITR 101.9 FM.
For our very final segment of this week's show, like I said before we went to break, we're going over our red flags and green flags on dating apps, and we'll be talking about our own dating profiles. If you follow our Instagram, you got a little sneak peek of our dating profiles. Hee hee.
Very funny.
Okay, Halle, are you ready for the fun segment?
I'm so excited.
Okay, red flags, green flags. So, okay, I think it's obvious to everyone. Everyone's heard red flags before, probably. But red flags is like something you see and you're like, ooh, this is bad. And then green flags are the opposite of like, oh, this is good. That might have been obvious, but I thought we should probably explain it just in case. Okay. Red flag or green flag, workout pictures / photos in the gym.
Absolute red flag.
Agreed.
You know what? And it could even be someone that's so attractive.
Of course.
And then I'd be like, no.
Because like people will have, like men in particular will have like shirtless pictures, but if they're like normal enough, like they're on a boat or like they're at the pool or something. I'm like, okay, go off. But in the gym, something about it, I'm just like, no.
Because you know he was like, I'm getting so many gains tonight. Like, I'm going to take a picture of myself in the gym, and then I'm going to put it on my Tinder.
Yes.
Like, that is what I'm going to do.
That was the thought process. And sometimes it'll be, like, in the gym, like, change room, and there'll be people behind them. And I'm like, oh, my God, please make it stop. Okay. Photos of animals, specifically dog pictures.
Also red flag.
Yeah.
Because, first, I don't care for pets that much. But also, if your personality trait is your dog, if you use, like, come and hang out with me and my doggo, mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. That's a red flag for me as well, because if it's like a cute picture that of you and then you just happen to have your animal in that photo with you, fine. But if you've one of your photos you've chosen is just of your animal, you're baiting me. You want me to swipe right just because of that animal, and I won't do it. I refuse.
I literally feel like it's like a feminine reductionist statement to be like, girl, like animal.
Yeah.
I'll show her animals.
I love that.
And she will
that
love
is
it.
The thought process. It is. Be. Okay. Using a meme as one of your pictures.
Absolutely green flag. I have a meme in my profile. I love when I see memes. One, it's always the queer people. I was going to say the B word. I'm sorry. It's always very, very cool people that have yes. Their memes. And I love them.
Of course. I also have a meme in my profile. Meme is a green flag 100%. Shows me your sense of humor. Shows me your personality. Love it. All the way. Let's go. Pronouns in bio.
Green flag.
Green flag.
Love it.
Pictures with friends.
Okay. Yes, because I think that I want to know that you have friends.
Yes.
I actually don't know if I have pictures with friends in my bio currently. But anyway,
in your bio.
In my profile. In my profile. But specifically for men, yes.
Mm.
But you have to have one by yourself. Yes. I will not
more than one, I would go as far to say.
But like, I literally, doing my quote unquote research for this episode, I was swiping through Tinder and the amount of profiles, I was just all groups.
Yeah.
Even though circle there, no, go outside and ask your bro to take a picture of you yeah. in the sunlight. Yeah. Okay. I need to see what you look like.
Yeah. Well, discounting the fact that some people will have exclusively group photos, I would say photos with friends are a green flag for me
yes.
because it shows me that you have friends.
Yeah.
It gives me a sense of what you're like with your friends, and it gives mm-hmm. me a sense of, like, usually it'll be, like, giggling with the friends, and that's, like, honestly very attractive to me to be like, aw, you have fun with your friends. I want to have fun with you and your friends.
The bar is so low.
Okay. Obvious Snapchat or Instagram filters.
No, red flag.
Total red flag. All the girlies be doing this,
all
and I'm like,
all the girlies be doing that. Also, like, okay, to be fair, I think sometimes it can be done fine if it's in a very,
like, humorous.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to make, yes, in a very humorous way. But there's still people with the stupid dog filter.
Yeah, or just, like, really cringy, like, Snapchat filters that are, like, two pixels and just
yes.
and like we all know that how much like filters actually change your face nowadays
yeah,
as well
weird.
So that's a red flag for
red
me
flag.
Height and bio.
Okay, I have opinions. Mm-hmm. I am what you may say a tall girl. I would like to know your height. And I will swipe left on people that are short. And I will say that because it's just the way that I've been conditioned to think, especially in like men, that they need to be taller than me. I'm sorry. It's the way it is. I've grown up tall. Like, I want to know what your height is. But I will not accept the whole 6'1", if that matters.
Yeah.
No.
You know what that means. Yeah, okay. Well, this is the first one where we disagree because, honestly, I really do not care about people's heights whatsoever.
Yes.
I think if maybe your height would be shocking to people for whatever reason, then maybe it's something worth including because you just, as the person putting your height in your bio, don't want people to be absolutely shocked when you meet up in
yeah.
person. But I am short and I don't really care. It's very uncommon for people to be shorter than me.
Yeah.
And also, I just don't really care. But that's also just, like, we have different views on the world, if you know what I mean.
Get it? Get it? Well, also, I was going to say, on Hinge, they do, like, it's not even that it has to be in your bio. It's just, like, something that you can put in as, like, a little characteristic.
That's a bit better.
I guess, which I think is nice. But
yeah.
I still really appreciate it, even though I'm simply not meeting up with almost any of these people.
Yeah, right? This is all, like, so abstract,
yes.
but whatever.
It's
okay, sending GIFs in the chat, baby.
Yes! I love, first and foremost, GIFs.
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 Whatever the creator red said, you can say them
red
both ways.
Red flag if someone says GIFs.
All right, I don't want to hear it.
I love GIFs. I love when they send GIFs. I think it's so funny.
It's a red flag for me. It's so weird.
I think it's so funny. Also, because like one of our very good friends loves sending GIFs, and I love getting them.
Yes, but we talked to her about if she thought that sending GIFs in the chat on Tinder was red flag or green flag, and she said red flag as someone who sends a lot of them in text.
Yeah, well, she's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I green flag. Green flag for, okay. But they have to be good gifts. They can't just be stupid ones. I want you to have thought.
But, yeah. Okay, vaccination status in bio.
Green flag. Unless, I guess, if it's not vaccinated.
But also, I would like to know. Yeah. But, yeah, it's one of those things where I'm kind of like, oh, this is a little bit cringe, but also I don't know you, so I should probably know your vax status.
To be fair, I remember putting my vaccination status, like, right when I got vaccinated, yeah. Because I remember, like, just seeing other people do it, and I was like, I don't want anyone here to think that I'm not vaccinated.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little cringy now. I think some of the weird things that people will say, they'll be like, vax, waxed, and
oh god,
something else. And I'm like, don't.
Playing the sax.
That's actually epic. I want to put
that
on.
Yeah, I'm adding that to my profile right now. We had a conversation about this the other night. Registering as a different age than they are and having to correct it in their bio.
Yes. So this is one of those things that I think that is somewhat niche to me. But when I started using Tinder, I noticed that some people would have like this thing. So when I think I got one when I was 20, it would be another 20-year-old, but then in the bio it'd be like actually 18, and I'm like, wait, no, I did not sign up to message with an 18-year-old. So I think it must have just sat in my head that was like a bad thing. But now like it'll be someone like who's 24 and then in their bio be like actually 22. And for me, it's still a red flag. But I think the reason is just in the back of my head, I'm like, you were probably 17 when you made this Tinder account. You were a child. It really is not your fault.
Right.
It is just a red flag to me.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And I think for me, when I do see like people kind of becoming of age and then correcting that on their dating apps, it's like, oh, these apps should be maybe doing more to like validate people's ages because I don't like the idea of like sometimes you do the math. It's like, oh, you were 16 on Tinder. Like, no, ma'am. Like, this is not good.
I knew girls in high school that were 15, 16 meeting up with people from Tinder. It was not. I really think that they should, like, scan an ID or something like that. Like, it's way too unsafe.
No, I mean, what is the harm in doing that?
Like, I guess having, like, having the app know your data, maybe.
That's true. That's very true. Cool. So, moving on. Do you want to walk me through your thought process in putting together your dating profile?
Yes.
Give the people what they want.
Yes.
Pull up the dating profile.
I was going to say, I'm going to pull it up too. Okay. So I will explain my thought process.
Yeah. Obviously, explain what the pictures are as well.
Yes, yes. So I actually recently just reconfigured my thing, but it's not that different from what it used to be, but I've just been on the app so much because we've been talking about it, and I was like, oh, like I should change it around. So my philosophy is that you reel them in with a nice little sweet pic.
Mm-hmm.
My first picture is me in the grass and the sun, and I'm kind of like squinting. It's all very cute. And then I remember the girl who took this picture of me, it was one of my friends, and we had just started becoming friends, and when she took that picture, she was like, oh my god, you're so photogenic. And I was like, wow. The next one is kind of a funny picture. It's me. It's a mirror selfie, but I'm wearing this shirt that's literally my favorite shirt that I own, which is Gorgeous But Humble.
Nice.
Which I think is great.
Adds a little element of your personality.
And then I have a little, like, I don't want to say it's sexy because it's not really sexy, but it's just like, I look good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're kind of getting the idea of, like, I am also very attractive.
Yeah. I am also. And also, not only am I funny and fashionable, but also perhaps you might find me attractive on occasion.
Exactly. And then the next one is even a little bit more kind of like, ooh.
Okay, wait, say more.
Okay, well, the first one is the first one that I was talking about was just kind of like, you can see my whole body. My butt looks kind of good.
Nice. Love.
The second one is this really great picture that this girl took of me at a party, and it was really hot, so I'd like unbutton my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little glistening, and I'm smoldering, actually.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, I've seen that picture. And aren't you like kind of like playing with your hair?
Yeah,
in this
I'm like
really,
twirling
like,
my hair.
Sexy way. It's great. It's so great.
And then I go back to like a nice little sweet picture. It's me. It's the one that's on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's me just kind of like sitting and smiling up. And then I have a silly little picture of me making my friend fly, which is a thing I do sometimes when I get drunk. And then I have a meme, which is psychology majors be like, damn, I can't even be mad at you because I know why you reacted the way you did.
I love that.
Other extra details is that I have a song listed, which is Pay Imaginer by Polo and Pan because I am cool and listen to music. And my bio is honestly not that good. I didn't really know what to put. I've had better bios in the past, but mine is just let me psychoanalyze you. Mm-hmm. And then vaxxed up, BB.
Nice. So you do have your vaccine status.
I do have my vaccine status.
Aw, so good.
So my just like a general thing is like I like trying to like incorporate all. I'm trying to do what I would like to see in other people's profiles, mm-hmm. which is. Yeah, show me what you look like. Show me you smiling, like, whatever. And then, like, if you want to be a little, like, oh, look at me. And then I would love to see a bit of humor
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
that's what I try to encapsulate.
100%. My profile, my first picture is the one on our Instagram where I took a little mirror selfie. I think you can see my face pretty well. And I'm wearing a crocheted hat that Holly crocheted me. I get a lot of people asking me if I knit it myself. And I'm like,
you can lie to them. If
ghosted.
You
my next picture is another mirror selfie, actually, in someone else's bathroom. And it's just kind of like shows my style a little bit, like the clothes that I wear. And I have these like fun earrings that a lot of people comment on as well. And then my next picture, I think I added this one because I had a different haircut at the time and I wanted to show that, but also it was like taken on the beach and I'm like modestly like dressed, like I have a one piece and like shorts on, uh-huh. but you can still see my full body. And I think that was also the intention there.
Can you turn it around? Which one is this?
I think you took
oh.
this one. And then I have one where a silly one that my friend took of me eating pizza.
Oh, and I like, took that picture of you.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Holly took this. Holly took all my Tinder photos. Plot twist. But that one's just being like, hee, I'm silly, and pizza, I guess.
And I love pizza.
And then I have another one where I'm like glistening in the sun just because it was a nice photo of me. And also I like my outfit. And then one where that my friend Tashiel took of me, where I'm holding a skateboard to show that I skate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun because, like, I also am more likely to swipe on people who have skateboards because I'm like, we could always skate together.
Yeah, I could always be something.
Not that I've ever met up with anyone off of Tinder to skate with them, but we could in theory. And then my final picture is a meme that reads, it's a WikiHow page. I don't know if this is actually a real one or not. I got it off a meme page, but it's a WikiHow page. And the WikiHow is how to be a good police officer. And then step one, quit.
Nice.
Which I think is good because like I feel pretty strongly about like my political beliefs. And
right.
I would, if I used Tinder seriously, I would never want someone who like didn't align with my political beliefs. So honestly, I think that's like a great way to filter it. And then my bio is, show me your favorite and least favorite emojis and let me judge you for them. And then I have my pronouns, she, her. And I just think that that is like a really good conversation starter because we don't have to use too many words.
Yeah.
We can also like kind of tease each other or like agree with each other. And I think it honestly tells you a lot about a person.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Wow. Well, we're at the end of our programming. Might run a little bit over. But your homework this week, well, one, actually on a serious note, what we were talking about in the research portion, I do think it you should take some time, think about your dating, have conversations with your partners about dating apps, maybe keep that in your back pocket, all that jazz. But also your official homework this week is to check if you have any of the red flags that we mentioned today.
Yeah.
As your free therapist, we cannot tell you to change, but we can ask you to take some time to reflect as to why you would have things that the both of us see as red flags, right? Because we are the most educated on this topic.
Yeah, what she said. This has been your free therapy session for this week. We are your hosts. I'm Violet.
I'm Hale, and this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks to hear somewhat of a follow-up episode, sticking with the theme of dating surrounding Valentine's Day. We'll be talking about rejection.
Thanks for tuning in to our very special 2022 Fun Drive episode. Don't forget to donate. And if you enjoy the content we make for Therapy Hour, why don't you give us a little donation in the name of the show? Therapy Hour! Visit citr.ca/donate.
We love